Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I just want to thank God for this wonderful opportunity he has given to me to stand before great men and women of God. It's a privilege, and it is something I'm not going to take for granted. Thank you so much, Pastor Mike and the entire leadership for allowing us to come here. And I just want to say thank you so much to the entire body. You have been such a huge blessing to my family and the ministry. And without you, we cannot do the Lord's work back there in Zambia. So thank you for your support, prayers. We really appreciate so very much. May the good Lord continue to bless this church. And I'm so happy to be here. And I believe and trust that we are not going to go out the same. God is going to bless us through his word. And I pray that each one of us is going to be attentive and to God's word. I believe and trust that God's word is not going to return void unto him. It is going to accomplish whatever purpose God is sending his word this morning. I'll just share some few things. I know he has touched Pastor Mike concerning us planting a church in Lusaka. Yes, we are in Lusaka and we are trying to plant a church there. I know it's not going to be an easy thing, as he has mentioned. We are just praying for God himself to continue guiding us and helping us, because with our own power and flesh, we cannot do it. And at the same time, I don't want to produce, to manufacture Ishmael, because it's very easy to manufacture and produce Ishmael, because Ishmael is the picture of what flesh can produce. And sometimes we human beings, we have a tendency of trying to take Ishmael to God so that Ishmael can become God's will. But God will always reject. So it's Isaac. And Isaac is what the Spirit of God can do through us if we allow him. And we know that Isaac was born when Sarah's body, I can just say, she was dead. Her womb was dead. That's when Isaac was born. I believe and trust that there are some things, even in our lives, we will never see until we die to this flesh, until we die to the things of the world. That's when we are going to see some new things, some new directions in our lives. So I believe and trust that God is going to bless each one of us. So in Lusaka, we just want to allow the Spirit of God to work in and through us, because it's very easy to go out there and try to gather people using your own power and flesh. But according to my own understanding, that is going to be a dead church. So we have to allow the Spirit of God to move and work in and through us. So it's a blessing, it's a privilege for me to be here. Continue praying for us. I know you have been praying for us, but continue praying for us. It's not an easy thing, most especially if you want to do a right thing. Just know that you encounter so many difficult things. Even the people within the church, even the so-called Christians who fight you, but you just have to stand on the truth of God's word. So I'll just share what God laid on my heart. We are just going to look at how do we respond to persecution. How do we respond? Because it's very, very important as children of God, how we respond when hard times comes in our lives, when things are tough, when things are difficult, when persecution comes, how do we respond? It's very, very important. It's very, very important. And the reason why God allows difficulty things to come into our lives, in our lives, is in order for Him to prove if we are genuine. Because when hard times comes, that's when your royalty will be seen, if you are royal to Him or to yourself. So we are going to look at some few things. I would love to pray before I read any passage of Scripture. Shall we pray? Gracious, merciful Father, come we before thy throne with the precious blood of Jesus, the blood which was shed on the cross of Calvary for us. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity. I pray that your Spirit, Father God, is going to move and touch each one of us in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Using my own power and wisdom, nothing is going to happen, and I am nothing without you. I pray for the wisdom. I pray for your Spirit, Father God, to guide me in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Use me, Father, as your vessel, as I stand here to proclaim your word. Do what no man cannot do, and take all thy glory. This is not my word. This is your word. Speak through your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. So how do we respond? Because I've seen people quitting ministry because they have encountered difficulties in their lives. I have seen people quitting. I have seen people responding poorly when it comes to persecution. I have seen things like that in my life. So I believe and trust that we are going to allow God to speak in our lives. So how do we respond? I know prayer is very, very important in our lives when it comes to respond to situations like difficult times. When difficult times comes in our lives, prayer is very important. Prayer is number one. But prayer without understanding also will take you nowhere. Prayer without understanding will take you nowhere. So we pray with understanding. And if you read God's word, because I had to sit down and go through and look at the life of Paul and some other guys, I think these guys, they saw something beyond persecution. They saw something beyond the curtains. They saw something beyond this world. And I think because of what they saw, it helped them to stand. Do you know, if you can't see anything, and if you are trying to see these eyes, do you know that these eyes can deceive you sometimes? This is the reason why us as Christians, we don't walk by what we see with these eyes. Because sometimes how things are in this physical realm, that's not how things are spiritually. This is the reason why we have to use spiritual eyes. I'm going to give an example. Elisha, there was a time, if you read in the book of Kings, I think it's 1 Kings, Elisha and his servant, if I'm not mistaken, is the 2 Kings. And his servant, they were going somewhere. So his servant saw the enemies, and actually he was troubled so much. And he said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And Elisha prayed that, Lord, open the eyes of this young man. And the Lord opened the eyes of this young man, and he saw that on his side they had angels surrounding them. I believe and trust that his perspective changed after he saw what these eyes could not see. So even us as believers, I believe and trust that we have to see something these eyes cannot see. And that is going to keep you moving forward. But if you keep using these eyes, if you can't see beyond the curtains, it will be very difficult for you to continue following Jesus Christ. Because following Jesus Christ is not the matter of sugar and butter. But there are some hard stuffs we are going to encounter as children of God. So we have to see beyond the curtains. I'm going to read some few verses from the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'll begin reading from verses 18. I just want to show you, I know this is a familiar passage of scripture, but you can tell that I think this guy, Paul, he saw something beyond this world. This is the reason why he was able to stand. This is the reason why he was able to continue following Jesus Christ. He was saying, even if I am bound, the gospel is not bound. He was able to confess those words because he saw something beyond this world. I believe and trust that this is not our home. This is not our home. Our home is in heaven. We are just passing through. This is not our home. Our home is in heaven. The early church, they were so heavenly minded. So heavenly minded. Where I'm coming from, the church is so earthly minded because I always hear people preaching about the stuff they can get out of this world, where the material stuff is concerned. And this is the reason why most of them, they have fallen in love with the worldly stuff. Because the more you hear about the worldly stuff, the more you will fall in love with the worldly stuff. The more you hear about heaven, the more you hear about Jesus Christ, the more you will fall in love with him. That's how it is. So you can tell that Paul, he was heavenly minded, not earthly minded. Because the life we are living right now, this is temporal. This is temporal. One day, someday, we will die. We are going to come out of this world. Whether we like it or not, someday, one day, we are going to come out of this world. And death is certain. It is certain. It is an appointment. We are not going to change. We may change appointment. Maybe I have an appointment with my friend. I can change that I'm going to come tomorrow. It's not going to work. But death, we are not going to change. If it comes, if it is tomorrow, we are going to meet that appointment, whether we like it or not. But us as believers, we know that when that time comes, we are going to be with Jesus Christ. So how do we respond to persecutions? How do we respond? So I'll begin reading from verses 18, chapter 11, 2 Corinthians. Seeing that men glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you,
If a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. How be it? Where in so ever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure, in prison, more frequent, in death of the Jews, 5 times received, I 4 stripes, save one. 3 was I beaten with rods. 1 was I stoned. 3 I suffered shipwreck. 1 night and 1 day I have been in the deep, in the journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings, often in hunger and thirsty, in fastings, often in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that were without, that which cometh upon me daily, he is saying daily, Paul, the care of all the churches. 29, who is weak? I am not weak. Who is offended? I bear not. If I must needs glory, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concerning mine infirmities. This is Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was anointed, very much he was anointed, this guy. But being anointed and praying did not stop troubles from coming. Because sometimes we think that prayer is going to stop problems from coming. Prayer is going to stop troubles from coming. Troubles will come. But prayer will help you to stand when troubles come. It's very, very important, because it's not every time troubles will go away. Even when Jesus Christ was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, the angel of God appeared to Jesus Christ, encouraging Jesus Christ. The angel did not appear to take away the things Jesus Christ was about to go through, but he just came to encourage Jesus Christ. So even in our lives, it's not every time things will go away. This is the reason why we have to learn how to stand, how to respond to situations when hard times comes in our lives. Because I've seen people quitting, going to church, because things are hard. Maybe somebody spoke something, so I'm not going to go back to that church. I'll stop going to church. But if you look into God's word, the things these guys went through, it cannot be compared to those petty things. This is the reason why myself, I feel like I have not yet started following. Yes, I am a follower of Jesus Christ, but when I read God's word and look at the things these guys went through, I cannot compare myself to them. And I feel like I have not yet started. I have not yet started. This is the reason why I am not going to allow any man anything to stop me from following Jesus Christ. Because if these guys, they can go through difficult things like this, who am I? If I am a follower of Jesus Christ, who am I not to follow Jesus Christ? We are going to read from the book of Daniel chapter 6. I just want to grab, God has been showing me some things out of this passage of scripture. I believe and trust that God is going to bless each one of us. We know Daniel. We have heard so many things about this man, Daniel, and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and the Abednego. And we know that those names are Babylonian names, because those guys were given Babylonian names. Why? Because the king of Babylon, he wanted to conform these guys to become like Babylonians. So he had to change the names. And we know that these names are popular: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those are Babylonian names. The Jewish names, I don't hear them that much. I think we like calling them by the Babylonian names: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their names are Zariah, Ananiah. Those are Jewish names. Though I don't want to go that much there. So we are going to read from this book of Daniel. God has been showing me some good things out of this passage of scripture. How this man Daniel responded to persecution. Actually, these guys wanted to get rid of Daniel. They wanted to kill Daniel. They wanted to get rid of Daniel because they were not happy. Because it's more like Daniel was blocking these guys because they were thieves, crooks. So this is the reason why they were not happy to be working with Daniel. They wanted to get rid of this man, Daniel. So we are going to read and how he responded, this guy, Daniel, to this. So I'll begin reading from verses 1. The Bible reads, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage." Verse 3. "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princesses, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him." He was a faithful man, Daniel. You can tell that he was a righteous man. He was a righteous man. So they tried to search here and there to find an occasion against Daniel. They could not find. I'll continue reading. Verses 5. "Then said this man, we shall not find an occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." So you can tell that these guys, they knew how serious Daniel was when it comes to fellowshipping, praising God, following his God. They knew. This is the reason why they said, if we go to this man Daniel concerning the law of his God, we are going to get this man. Because they knew that Daniel is not going to compromise God's word. Daniel is not going to back down. So they knew who he was. So the question is, how well do the heathen know you? How well do they know you? Because these guys, they knew Daniel very well. That if we go to Daniel, we will trap him. If we go to him against his God, they knew him very well. How well do people know us concerning us being the follower of Jesus Christ? I'll continue reading. Verses 6. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto king, unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princesses, the counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, it shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Verses 10, and now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. So when Daniel heard, I just want you to listen very well. When he heard that the decree was signed, he went into prayer. He went into prayer. It's more like Daniel is signing his death sentence. Because he knew what will happen. But he went into prayer. He had to kneel down towards Jerusalem. And he started worshiping God. You are holy. I praise you. I honor you. There is none like you towards Jerusalem. He had to open the windows. He knew what he was doing. It's more like he was signing his death sentence. And look at this man. He did not try to change the place of worship. He did not try to change. I know today we may use wisdom, the so-called wisdom. No, I'll just change the place. But he did not change the place of worship. He went at the same place. At the same place. And to me, it shows me that Daniel, he was more concerned about his prayer life than his life itself. Because he knew. Because God said nothing, that Daniel, obey me, I'm going to save you, I'm going to do this. God did not say those things. So how do we respond to persecutions when persecutions comes? You can see that this man, Daniel, he was not a coward. He was not a coward. He was not afraid of the lion's den. He chose to stand by God and with God and being judged by Babylon. Even myself, I would rather stand by God and with God and judged by Babylon than standing with Babylon and judged by God.
And this man Daniel, he did not try to use Babylonian wisdom in order to save himself or protect himself. No. And actually, he was just quiet during all this time when they took him into the lion's den. He was just quiet. Even God, it seems as if God was quiet, as if he was not concerned. Where are you, God? Where is your hand? Where is your protection? Because all this time, it was more like God was not concerned until Daniel was thrown in the den of the lion. That's when God appeared through his angels. Hallelujah. That's when God appeared. So sometimes in our lives, sometimes we may think as if God is not concerned, as if God is not with us, as if God is not fighting for us. But we can see in the life of Daniel, God was showing me that if we continue, because sometimes we like to continue living and staying in our comfort zone. Do you know that we will never see the power of God in our comfort zone? I don't know your comfort zone, but sometimes, according to what I've seen God moving, if we continue living in our comfort zone, we will never see the power of God until we come out. So the power of God manifested in the lion's den when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. So I just want to show you something out of this passage of scripture. Because during those days, whenever the children of Israel were taken into captivity, their tendency was to face Jerusalem every time they prayed. They were facing Jerusalem because we know that Solomon, after dedicating the temple to God, he prayed a prayer. Whoever comes into this temple and pray and seek your face, Lord, please answer the prayer of your children. So they knew about that. If you go and read God's word, you are going to find those things. So this Daniel, you can tell that he had his heart, according to what God was showing me, his heart was not in Babylon. Yes, he was in Babylon, but his heart was not in Babylon. His heart was in Jerusalem. In Babylon, but in Jerusalem at the same time. Even us, we are in the world, but we are not of the world. So Daniel, he was in Babylon, but he was not of Babylon. And he was not corrupted by Babylon. Even as we are in the world, we are not of the world. We are not of the world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. So if I may ask a question, what do you see? What do you see? Daniel, he saw Jerusalem. And whenever he prayed, he faced Jerusalem. He was not facing Babylon and expect good things to come out of Babylon. When you pray, where do you face? Are you facing this world and expect good things to come out of this world? He was facing Jerusalem. Facing Jerusalem. Let's go and read from the book of Colossians chapter 3. I'll begin reading from verses 1. Chapter 3, verses 1. The Bible says,
If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Set your affections on the things above. Set your affections. Set your heart on the things above where Christ is seated. Because if you are not going to set your heart on the things above, it is going to be very difficult for you to stand when hard times comes in your life. It will be very difficult. But if you are going to set your heart, your mind on the things above, it will be very easy for you to stand. Because each and every time you will be just quoting scriptures. I know God is with me. God is on my side. As it is written, all the day long we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Even if it is not making sense in the physical realm, but if you set your mind, your eyes on the things above, it will be very easy for you to overcome the difficulty things in this world. And the Bible says, all things work together for good. All things work together for good. Even if it is not making sense, all things work together for good. As long as you stand on the truth of God's word. Myself, I have chosen to stand on the truth of God's word, no matter what, even if people decide to walk away from me, I am going to stand on the truth of God's word. It's better I have few people with me who are ready to follow Jesus Christ than having plenty of people who are not ready to follow Jesus Christ. And actually, it's not about God is not much interested with the quantity, but he is interested with the quality. With the quality, not the quantity. I know sometimes a lot of people, they go for the quantity, but God goes for the quality. Even if you are five, as long as you are doing God's will, you love righteousness, you want to do what is right with God, that is okay. That is fine. In the name of Jesus Christ. How do we respond to situations? So we can tell that Daniel's heart was not in Babylon. Are you facing Babylon when you pray, or are you facing heaven? And Daniel was not afraid of the lion's den. He was not afraid. He was not afraid. He was okay. He was okay. And the reason why, even where I'm coming from Africa, the reason why it is difficult to see the power of God, because in church, we do compromise God's word so much. And if we compromise God's word, we will never see the power of God. If Daniel chose to compromise God's word and worship the king of Babylon, he wouldn't have seen the power of God. But he chose to stand on the truth of God's word. He didn't care
about all those things, the lion's den and what, him, his focus was on God. His focus on God's word. So where is your focus? Because many of the times we like compromising God's word. Because if you compromise God's word, the king of Babylon wouldn't have said the words he spoke after Daniel was delivered out of the lion's den. Let's go back into the book of Daniel. We are going to hear what he said. Verses 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations and languages that dwell in the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. O earth, deliver Daniel from the power of the lions. So you can tell that this guy was touched. This guy was touched because Daniel chose not to compromise God's word. He chose not to compromise God's word. If he wanted, he would have compromised God's word in order for him to protect himself. But you can tell that self-preservation, safety was no longer a goal to this man, Daniel. It was no longer a goal. His goal was to please God. Even in the life of Paul, you can see Paul took the same stance. His goal was not self-preservation. His goal was to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many of the time, the reason why sometimes we like compromising God's word is in order for us to protect ourselves, in order for us to continue living in our comfort zone. But you can see here that Daniel did not compromise God's word. So the question here, are we compromising God's word? Are we following God's word? Because if your heart is not up there, if your heart, your mind is not up there, it will be very easy for you to compromise God's word. I have seen people where I'm coming from in church, but at the same time compromising God's word. At the same time, they don't want to hear the truth. Even in this generation, people, they don't like hearing the truth. People, they just want to hear the lies of the enemy. And people, they are so much comfortable hearing the lies. They don't want to hear the truth. But we have to stand in these last days of the church as children of God. We have to preach the truth and stand on the truth of God's word. It's very, very important as children of God. So is your heart in Babylon or your heart is in heaven? Because if your heart is in Babylon, you will try by all means to protect yourself. If Daniel's heart was in Babylon, he would have tried by all means to protect, number one, his position, to protect his life, and to protect all the good things of Babylon. But his heart was not in Babylon. Where is your heart? Where is your heart? Is your heart up there or is your heart in this world?
Because this world is perishing. And the Bible says, in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says, we are strangers. We are just strangers. This is not our home. This is not our home. We are just strangers. We are just passing through. This is not our home. We are going somewhere. We are going somewhere. Are you able to see beyond the curtains? Beyond this world? Beyond the troubles? Because if you are able to see beyond the troubles, it will be very easy for you to stand and start praising God in the storm. In the storm, we are praising God. God, thank you so much. You are good. You are so good. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bless you, Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for today. But we are in the storm. Because many of the times, we have a tendency of complaining. Why me this? Why me that? Why am I going through these difficult things? Because our minds and our hearts is not in heaven. It is down here. It is down here in Babylon. So where is your heart? How do we respond? Because if our hearts are up there, we are going to respond very well. We are going to respond very well. And say, okay, persecution, come. 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 Troubles, come. Actually, troubles helps us to grow spiritually. Problems helps us to grow spiritually. You will never grow without problems. You will never grow without going through difficult things. So we go through this in order for us to grow spiritually. You may ask a question. Why is God allowing difficult things to come into our lives? We know that suffering is the consequence of the fall. Suffering is the consequence of the fall. But God has further designed that suffering, which is the consequence of the fall, shall produce character in our lives. Yeah, this is the reason why Paul is saying, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. I know it's not an easy thing to suffer for his name's sake, but we just have to stand. Actually, years back, those who are familiar with the church history, dying for the cause of the gospel, it was a badge of honor in those days. It was a badge of honor, dying for the name of Jesus Christ. It was the badge of honor. And you know that it is easier to die for him than it takes to live for him. Yeah, I'm going to say it again. It is easy to die for the name of Jesus Christ than it does or it takes to live for him. Do you know that it is tough and difficult to live for him? And actually, you cannot die for him if you are not living for him. So it's living for him which led so many heroes of faith to die, to lay their lives down for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the question is, are you living for him or are you living for yourself? You can tell that Daniel, he was living for God, not for himself. He was living for him. This is the reason why self-protection, self-preservation was no longer a goal. A goal was to live for him. Are we living for him or are we living for ourselves? How do we respond? Because if we live for him, you are living for him, you are going to respond to hard times with the scriptures. Even if it's not making sense. There are times when scriptures,
doesn't make sense when you are going through difficult things. But you just have to trust what he has said in his word. You just have to trust. Even if you don't understand, just trust. And actually, God has not called us to understand and believe. He has called us just to believe. And maybe you understand later. Because some of the passages of Scripture, if you go and read, you can just say, this doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense. Most especially, a lost person, he reads some of the Scriptures. Like the Bible says, love your enemy, pray for them. It does not make sense. Why loving somebody who is my enemy? It does not make sense. But to us who believe, we just have to do it. Even if it's not making sense, even if I'm feeling pain, I have to do it. I have to believe what he has said in his word. I have to continue loving people. Even if they are saying bad things about me, I have to continue loving people. That's what he has said in his word. But if you take that passage of scripture to a worldly man, it does not make sense. It does not make sense. But we know with us that is the power of God. So may the Lord God Almighty bless each one of us. How do we respond? How do we respond? So prayer without understanding. I have seen people praying in the name of praying without understanding. I have seen people. I was saved in 2003. I think my walk with Christ, I have seen a lot of things. I have learned a lot of things through my own personal experience, through other people. So I have seen some few things. I know we have people here who were saved years back. You may have seen more than I do. But I think the things I have seen a lot of things, and I have learned a lot of things from other people and through my own personal testimony. So to cut short a long story, I just want to encourage the church. Let us continue moving forward. Let us be one. Let us be one. Let us be united. Let us love each other. We have to love each other. We have to be one. Because if we come together and we are one, we are going to be strong. Very strong. So let us continue. I think those are the few words of encouragement. I just want to encourage this church. You are a great church. You have a great pastor. I love Pastor Mike, Pastor Bob Green, the guys, the postings here, all of you in here, the Greens here. We love you so very much, guys. Continue moving forward. You are such an encouragement to us. Every time we come here, we always go back filled spiritually. So continue moving forward. You never know that you never know that somebody has been encouraged because of your standing on the truth. You never know. You may think that, let me just give a little testimony in 1 minute. I didn't know that somebody was encouraged because of me standing on the truth, following Jesus Christ. I didn't know that somebody is the pastor today. So I didn't know that that young man was so much encouraged. And actually, he was not the member of our church. So there was a day, he came to me and he said, do you know that I have been following you? I like how you follow Jesus Christ. I like and I'm so much encouraged. And because of you, I am a born again believer. And I have decided to follow Jesus Christ. So I didn't know, and after hearing those words, so I was saying, if my life was not in line with the gospel, even standing on the truth, what would have happened to that young man? I think he would have been discouraged. So I just want to encourage you, church, that stand. Even if things are difficult, stand. People, they are watching. There are people who are watching, and there are people who are happy to see you coming together. You may not know them, but I just want to assure you that they are there, people watching you guys. Even us back in Africa, because most of you, you always send messages to us, to encourage us, which we really appreciate for that. So continue moving forward. You are such a huge blessing to us. Continue moving forward. Because you're standing this side, I can just say it is also an encouragement to us that side. Because I can feel bad to come and hear that one of the believers here has stopped coming to church, has stopped following Jesus Christ, and he's saying, no, I think following Jesus Christ is a bad thing. I think that can be a discouraging thing. So let us continue encouraging each other. So may the Lord God Almighty bless you so very much. And it's my pleasure to be here. God bless you. Amen.